Kent Eaglehart is an Atlanta actor, but now he's taking his turn behind the camera. He'll be showing his first short film this Sunday at the Plaza. It's a fiction film based on the very real problem of LGBT youths and homelessness. It draws much of its story from homeless and LGBT organizations in our city. The filmmaker spoke with producer Gabby Watts for this week's 24 FPS.
So we're here today to talk about your first film that you're making, and so it's called Unconditional. It's focusing on an LGBT youth who's been kicked out of his home. And I saw in something that you sent me that you were partially inspired by, there was a viral video that came out. So could you sort of first talk about, you know, why you wanted to make this film?
Well, oddly enough, I actually got the inspiration from an NPR story. About 2 years ago, they had done a story on homeless kids in New York City. And it turned out that 40% were LGBT. And I thought, you know, there's no way that can be right. But it turns out that it is, because I've done a lot of research on that now. And in the South, it's actually more than 50%. And so as I learned more about that, you know, I decided it's not something I knew, even though I have a lot of LGBT friends. I thought I was fairly aware of what's happening. And it's something I had no idea about. And really felt like it was a story that needed to be told. The video you mentioned is about Daniel Pierce, and he is part of Lost and Found, which is a group that we were working with for the film. And but he was kicked out. He actually had put his cell phone video on and didn't really think about it. Wasn't intending to record it, but just had it on when he was approached by his family. They had a scuffle and a long discussion, would be the nice way to put it, about him and what they called his choices, ultimately kicked him out. And you know, he has now been an inspiration for what we've done. He's now on the board of the Lost and Found, which is Atlanta's only LGBT-focused homeless shelter and services organization. And he actually even has a cameo role. We put him in as a guy who's just now been kicked out. He's on the street corner, and you see him on there. And so, you know, he actually is reliving that for this.
Is Lost and Found, are like specific organizations and ideas that are going on in our city, are those ideas incorporated into your film?
Yes. Lost and Found is real, and they are a means to help the folks that are on the street. So we wanted to give them some exposure through that, and they have been so great to provide information. We actually used their building for location shooting, all kinds of stuff they've done. So, you know, it's a little payback for the help they've given us.
And before we get more into Lost and Found, from your research, could you tell me why is it that 40% in the U.S. and 50% in the South of the youths who are kicked out of their homes are LGBT? Why is that the case?
Well, frankly, there is a religious aspect to that. Obviously, not all religions have an issue, but in the South, we tend to be, obviously, the Bible Belt, and frankly, it is many religious issues with people who come out to be LGBT, people thinking it's a choice and not thinking it's something that they want in their home. Thankfully, a lot of times that has changed, and once they've been kicked out, the kids are not there, there is a change of heart, and they have actually brought them back in. But you know, that's where that high number comes from.
And I saw in one of the clips that you had sent me of the film that you kind of have this voiceover.
We have 48 hours from the time a kid hits the streets till they start a downward spiral. You know the largest group of homeless kids? LGBT. That's gay to you.
So what is it that sort of like Lost and Found in other organizations, what are they trying to do once someone gets kicked out of their home?
Well, they're the ones who came up, who gave me this information. And just imagine yourself, if you were suddenly on the street, had nothing, no money, no clothes, no nothing, you know, what are you going to do? And so it's only human nature to think that, you know, within 48 hours, you got to do something. You got to eat. You're going to have to be somewhere. And it's not going to take too long before you're going to turn to doing something, whether that's stealing from store for food, breaking in somewhere to be able to sleep. Again, they're the ones who really came up with that for me. And they are out on the street every night. They're looking for kids who are on the street and who've been kicked out. And we actually had a reading back in December, and the executive director was going to be part of that, but it had just turned cold. And so he said, I've got to be out on the street tonight. You know, this is when it really starts hitting, because when it's cold, it's even worse.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. T'was grace us far, and grace will lead us home.
And so what happens in the film?
We actually begin on a Thanksgiving Day. In fact, that's one of our log lines is, have you had your Thanksgiving Day? Where, you know, the boy, his name's Bradley, he is dressing up for, in total and drag, for the dinner, and his whole family's there. There are people who haven't been around the family in quite a while. But then he comes in with everybody at the table, fully dressed in all makeup, and his mother just freaks out and sends him out of the way. The pastor who's there with the family, he takes him out and literally drops him out on the street.
Let's eat!
By God. Oh, get your hands off my son. Why? Why are you doing this today?
Not in my house. Not today. Out! Out!
All the things that have happened in the film aren't necessarily a true story, but they're all inspired by things that have actually happened. The Lost and Found will tell us a story about somebody literally driving on I-75, pulling on the side of the highway and kicking them out and driving off. So we kind of reenacted some of that type of thing around Krog Street Tunnel because it's got the graffiti everywhere. We actually use that for a lot of our outdoor shooting. And then he's got to deal with being on the street. You know, we show a lot of what goes through that. He's actually ultimately found by another church that brings him into a homeless shelter. Not everyone there agrees with him being there, and he again has to leave. And we go through the whole another scenario of him being out on the streets, and he does follow that quick spiral down. And ultimately, he is found again by the folks who bring him to Lost and Found.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am.
Is there any redeeming part of religion in your story?
Oh, sure. In fact, I should make clear, given that question, that you know, we're showing all sides, that this is not something that just because you're a religious person means you're going to kick people out or hate people or LGBT. I don't think that is true at all. But just looking around and watching the news, that certainly is an aspect that's out there. But just as an example, St. Mark's United Methodist, they are the most open, loving, accepting church I've ever been a part of, and they let us use their building for locations as well. In fact, there's so much in their location that we used it for like six different places within the same building. So it's not by any stretch a what happens because you're religious. I think that's not true at all. But it is some interpretations of what is in the Bible and how you believe, and those are some aspects. But we ultimately save Bradley by a church-supported group.
Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God.
And it seems also in the film that there's other characters who bring other elements of the convergence of LGBT and religion. So could you talk a little bit about some of the other characters that are in the film?
There's the shelter director, who is part of a church, who certainly believes more open, accepting path, and she is the one who really tries to bring him along. In fact, she actually gets involved with spreading needles out on the streets, and we use the Atlanta Harm Reduction Coalition as a real group here as well, that they were a part as well. So we're trying to spread around all kinds of information that's out there, and that's really on the street. We have a priest who works with her. He's on both sides. You know, he's not really sure where he's coming down on those kind of things. I actually played a Monsignor in the church who is more negative than not.
You can't stay here.
I thought we loved the sinner.
There are rules.
Francis, who am I to judge?
You will not lecture.
My father followed your rules. Altar boy, deacon, devoted husband and father. Turned out he loved another man more than my mother, and this church left him.
It is a sin. It is their choice.
What if it's not? You know the real choice is yours.
Can't give it away, but he ultimately may have some things that go positively as well. And it's funny because as I was writing the story, Pope Francis came out with the, you know, who am I to judge? And I'm like, oh no, that's going to change a number of my aspects. How do I do this? But ultimately, I use that line in the film because that is a discussion that's happening within the Catholic Church right now.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and talking about the film.
Thank you.
Beams of heaven as I go.
That was filmmaker Kent Eichelhart talking with Gabby Watts about his short film, Unconditional. It will be screened at the Placid Theater this Sunday at 5 p.m.
At my feet.
Just holds for me. That future holds.